Liveline on RT Radio 1 with a Kia EV6, Irish Car of the Year, and now European Car of the Year 2022. Discover the EV6 at kia.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And the other number I've been giving out for the last few days were WhatsApp messages from anywhere in the world, obviously. But the Irish number is 087-1843-709. 087-1843-709. Obviously, the prefix 003-5387 if from abroad. But it's a handy way of getting, and we've had quite a few of them, and we're going to whittle four of them down to play for you shortly, direct messages from people in Ukraine. Ed Sheehan. Ed, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You were due to go fishing today. What happened?
The price of diesel, Joe. It's just gone too high, and we unfortunately can't. That's not alone me. I'm just talking for this in general. The diesel has just gone too expensive to make the job viable.
So you were going to go on a 10-day fishing trip, a 10-day harvesting with a big. Tell us what the plan was, what you hoped, what you normally would catch, and what the price difference is now, please, Ed.
Well, the boat came back this morning from fishing,
okay.
And he did seven days fishing. To be honest, my son is a skipper. I don't know exactly what he landed. No, I hadn't seen his declaration, but when we went to fill the vessel back up again for 7 days fishing, it would cost €22,000.
And what did it cost this time last year?
This time last year, you would be talking about probably €10,000.
So double, it's doubled.
It's more than doubled, yeah. It's more than doubled.
And does that make the trip unviable?
Totally, of course it does. I mean, like, our quota is limited. I mean, the fishing industry has gone through an extremely difficult period. We had Brexit, we had the pandemic, and now we have this ridiculous situation with the war. I suppose it's nobody's fault. We certainly can't blame the minister or blame the government for it. But we are in a terrible predicament with the price of diesel now. I just heard in the news there earlier, the hauliers are meeting the minister today in relation to something, and obviously they are in difficulty, and you people at home heating oil, but there's nobody using the volume of diesel that are used in the commercial fishing vessels.
And is there mercantile diesel or maritime diesel? Do you get
it's marine? Yeah, it's marine diesel.
Okay,
it's marine diesel, Joe. Yeah, but the diesel prices now that we were quoted today were 1 tin a liter. We were buying it for 40 cents a litre, I suppose a year ago or a year and a half ago. And then it crept up, and, you know, it was up to 70 cents. And it's gone 40 cents, I think, since the boat went to sea. So it's just unsustainable. I mean, it's creating a problem for everybody. But like I said, the actual volume that we... Born is unsustainable. I mean, you have insurance costs, and you have crew, and you have maintenance and stuff. It just makes the whole thing totally unviable. And like I heard the minister on the news last night urging farmers to grow grain and grow crops because we could have a shortage of agricultural food. We're also going to be facing a shortage of fish because it's not going to be practical for fishermen to go and catch them.
And what would you hope to catch? What was your objective in the next 10 days, Ed?
Our objective in the next 10 days would be to catch the remainder of the quota. We get a monthly quota from the Department of the Marine. We get a monthly quota of different species to catch. And I think we'd probably have somewhere around maybe 3 tonne of monk, and, you know, maybe five or 6 tonne of hake and stuff like that. It would be a mixture of everything. It would probably be somewhere in the region of 240 kilo boxes of fish to catch in for the remainder of the month, we'd say.
And you say to land that is not viable.
Like, you would be talking about a 10-day trip costing probably €30,000 in diesel. Whereas the price that we're getting for fish at the moment, you'll be talking about grossing less than that. You'll be talking about a gross of probably somewhere between 25 and 28,000 euros for a 10-day trip, which would be normal enough for us, like.
And people would regard monkfish as a pretty expensive, lovely fish, almost a delicacy. But you're saying the monkfish is less expensive than the diesel.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting four euros a kilo is the price that we were quoted for the monk we landed this morning. You know, the price of fish, believe it or not, so it might be expensive in the shells, but we're not getting that kind of return. I was just looking today. I started fishing though in 1984, and I was getting the same money for monkfish, and I was getting twice as much money for hake in 1985 as we are today. So that's hard to believe, but that is the truth.
Okay, and how far out do you have to go to catch monkfish?
Well, I mean, you'd be right along the Irish coast, but I mean, you'd be probably somewhere between 20 and 40 miles out. And I mean, we have boats fishing out in the Parkavine Bank for prawns. They're probably 100 miles away.
Yeah. Okay, stay there, Ed, for a second. Lorraine Nolan has contacted us. Ed is saying, Ed, by the way, what are your demands? Because if a litre of diesel now at the pumps is 2 euro, but most of that is government taxes. So people could say, well, then the government could have an impact on that price by reducing the taxes, and they'd still get a hefty quantum of tax on an excise on it. But what can the government do to help you, Ed?
Well, just to make it clear, though, we get the VAT back on the diesel.
We've always got
the VAT back on the diesel.
Okay.
And like I said initially, this is not a problem that was created by the minister or the government.
I take that, yeah.
But we need, last year, because of Brexit, we got a scheme where the boats were tied up for either a month or 2 months, and the government paid the boats for tying up because we didn't have an adequate quota. And what we're asking the minister now is to immediately today to bring that tie-up scheme forward so that the boats would be subsidised just to tie up for a few months, and hopefully that this thing will pass. No, I can't see it passing in 2 months. Alternatively, we need subsidy for the diesel to be subsidised to go to catch fish and put food on the shelves.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And fish is very good for people. Want fish on the table as well. It's a fairly staple diet. Lorraine Nolan, Lorraine, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe.
You contacted, what, you're in the haulage business.
Yes.
And what's
happened? Unfortunately, at the moment, I am.
And do you think you'll be in it for long with the prices?
Well, the way things are going, no. I would be on the smaller scale of a haulier. I wouldn't be out there with the big boys who would have the fuel surcharge wrapped up in their contracts or fuel escalators. I'm doing work that really that wouldn't apply to. There'd be so many of us doing it, it would be hard to go in and get that. So at the moment, I'm awaiting an increase, which could be April. So at the moment, I'm absorbing every hit that's been thrown at me.
And what is the hit on a fill for a truck or a large commercial
vehicle? Put it this way, I was saying to your colleague there who rang me, 6 months ago in October, I was getting 2,800 litres on a Sunday for about €3,328.
Okay.
With the hits from last week up to yesterday morning, if I look at my price yesterday morning and do the same calculation, I'd be looking at €4,266. That's an increase of about €938.
Within a very short time frame.
And remember, we were told to go back in October when diesel started to go up. We were told, go back, ask your customer. So 6 months ago, I got an increase. That increase has been wiped clean in the last week. Mm-hmm. So now we're being told to go back again. And this is where the Irish Haulage Association is trying to go back to government and say, look, something needs to be done. Because if we are constantly going back to customers, we're one, chasing inflation, which the Taoiseach told us not to do the other week, but you're looking at products and prices of food, everything just rapidly increasing again. And the consumer feels it because it has to go back down that supply chain.
It sure does. Lorraine, many people do you employ?
I have 5 lads at the moment with me. Sorry,
five,
Joe.
Five families, yeah. That's,
And myself. At the moment, I'm not paying myself. So I'm trying to absorb March. So I've kind of said I'll have to take a step back and just see what I can do. I didn't feel very well down in Dublin Port yesterday morning doing the calculations filling the trucks.
But they were so expensive.
You were looking at more than half my sales gone on diesel. that's not the way to run your business either.
Yeah.
But when we're being told diesel is being priced by the hour, again, this is another concern we have with government. How do we price?
That's a good point. Good point. Yeah.
How do we do it, like?
Well, apparently a lot of the, even the home heating aisle, if you go online, they won't give you a price online because it's changing so quickly and they don't want to be held to it. John Nolan has phoned us on 0818 715 815 from, he's a manager of a co-op down in Castletown Bear. John, you say it's financial suicide to go to sea at the minute because of the price of fuel rocketing because of what's happening in Ukraine. Go ahead, John. How many boats would run out of Castletown Bear?
Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, we have a fleet of 54 boats, like from the Aran Islands all the way down as far as Crosshaven and all along the coast. And I suppose what people have to realise, a lot of those are sheer fishermen.
Okay.
So if you go to sea as a boat, you get a share of the catch after the costs are taken out of it. And the actual cost of going to sea would leave them with nothing. So you could be out there for 7 days, come in, and you've earned nothing. Now, in a way, I'm not looking to blame the government here or anything. What's happening in Ukraine is shocking. And to be complaining, we say, when people are dying in a war, like...
Of course, I take that point.
It's awful, like... And as a community, actually, one thing that we've done, like, and I have to give great credit to Paul O'Shea and Jason Kirk, one of our lorry drivers, is they've actually raised money to buy a lorry load, and we're putting a lorry out there to Poland to bring some relief to the people in Ukraine.
Well done, well done.
But it's not just the price of diesel. The price of diesel, like in the last year, has more than doubled. It went from 50 pence up to €1.09 today. And in the last week alone, it was 27 pence that went up. Now, those things are frightening, but we buy electricity on a 3-year cycle. And when we ran out of Christmas, when we went to the market to buy, we had to pay 150% more for electricity for 1 year. If we went for 2 years, to be 250, and if we went for 3 years, to be 350. Now, you're hoping things will come back to normal. Like cartons for a boat going to sea, like, are 36% dearer than they were last month. Polystyrene boxes are 38% dearer. The cost of insurance has doubled. And obviously, a lot of this is tied to the war, and you couldn't call it a war, like in Ukraine, like it's a disgrace what Russia are doing, but it has thrown the balance off. Like, we would love to get some sort of subsidy. We believe that the French are getting it from their government. We believe the Spanish are getting it. And we're always slow to come to the table in Ireland. Like, you know, we need to fight more for our industry. We are an island, like, and I think a lot of people in shore don't realise that. Like, you know, we compete like savagely at sea. And we just, like, need a bit of support now. And I'm sure there's loads and loads of other businesses, like, are in the same type of trouble. It's a terrible situation.
But you put it so strongly. Lorraine, what happened? Now, they didn't garner a lot of public support because they blocked the streets of Dublin after the pandemic. And when people were trying to get back on their feet. What happened to that maverick group of truck drivers who are blocking Dublin and threatening, well, do convoys on the motorways. Where are they gone?
I think they're on Facebook still. Again, our organisation didn't have anything to do with them.
Okay.
I think they're still there, and I think they're probably, like the rest of us, waiting to see what happens today, to be honest, Joe.
Okay, with the feedback from the government. Okay, Kevin has contacted us. I mentioned a home heating oil. Kevin, what have you spotted?
Well, Joe, I got home heating oil in 29th of April last year, and it was 37 cents a litre. And if you were to look up cheapestoil.ie at the moment, if you can find it, because the price has been dropped in some cases, but as of this morning, it was €1.50 or 1,500 for 1,000 litres. So in other words, it's gone from 37 up to €1.50 for heating oil in Kerry.
Wow.
In the last less than a year.
That's a fourfold increase.
It is. It's absolutely astonishing, and it's crazy. And
can you shop it round? Can you?
Well, you see, the problem with it is, Joe, if you look up that site, cheapestoil.ie, which is a good site, at the moment, for instance, last week, it showed Clare were gone to €2,000 for 1,000 litres. That's €2 a litre. Now, it disappeared off the site again. So I don't know what the current price in Clare is. Maybe some of your listeners would be able to tell you. But Kerry, when you were researching around me this morning, the Kerry price was 1,500, and she saw it, I saw it. 10 minutes later, it was gone off the site. So I don't know what the current price even is in Kerry at the moment. So it is a huge, huge increase, and it's something that really is unsustainable for people. I think that, like, my concern as well, Joe, is that, like, we're coming up to Patrick's Day. The government are going to go off all over the world. Mm-hmm. There'll be no one here, right? And we're left in a situation where this could go on and get higher and higher, because the situation in Ukraine is absolutely terrible for everyone involved out there, and we all realise that. But we need a government that actually does something, and not buzzing off around the world is not any good to the rest of us. I think at this stage they should basically reconsider their travel arrangements, and basically, Catherine Martin going out to Argentina next week? I don't know where Eamon Ryan is going. Where's Cedric presumably going to the US? But there's
Hang on, Kevin. Are you saying that the government should cancel the partying next week, the Patrick's Day? But I want to know, are you saying cancel it because, in light of what's happening, and it's getting worse, in light of what's happening to those people in Ukraine, they have daily, the minute-by-minute stories we're getting on every radio station, every radio programme, they're just getting more and more horrific. You're saying you can't be flying around the world for a Patrick's Day party in light of that? Or you're saying they should stay here because of the price increases in Ireland? Is it a taste issue?
No, Joe, I'm saying the first thing is they shouldn't be going. If there's a crisis in the world, I don't think all of our government should be leaving all of
it. Okay.
So I think that's the first thing. It's way more important than anything we're talking about.
Ironically, I think the only minister to stay behind, I think, I read it too, is the Minister for Foreign Affairs. I think he's in charge, Simon Coveney.
I believe he's in the States today, so he's getting his trip in a week early.
No, that's not fair now. That is not fair. I don't know, Simon Coveney is from Adam, apart from the rest of us, but he's over there at Security Council work. He's not over there doing backflips up 7th Avenue and drinking green beer at the top of the sixes.
Okay,
on
fair enough.
I'm saying there is an irony. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, I'll check this in a sec, maybe it's changed. But you're saying, you're saying the government shouldn't be, because of what's happening in Ukraine. But I just wonder, has any public event, commercial public event, been cancelled because of Ukraine, because it's so awful? Do you follow me?
I do. But I think, Joe, the government have a responsibility to govern. As some of your correspondents there earlier were talking about meetings with government and so on. If this situation keeps going the way it is, by the end of this week, half the cabinet will probably be abroad, or certainly early next week. And there's no need for that. I think at this stage, because of Ukraine, and because of the effect it has on Irish people and on people all over the world. And I think it's distasteful to be doing that, I think, at the moment. I think it's wrong.
Okay. Well, we started off talking about the price of, which is astronomical at this stage. And you got into. Has anyone else got a view, Ed, on the Patrick's Day festivities, the international trips by Irish ministers? They argue that St. Patrick's Day is the most celebrated national cultural day anywhere in the world. Do you think they should go to the?
To be honest, I'd be open minded. I have no problem with Patrick's Day. Our main concern is the viability of our business.
Okay.
We've built up over a long period, we have a very dedicated crew who have been very good, and hold on to them and going. But my concern, Joe, at the moment, is price of diesel, and we've done about it urgently.
Okay, I have to list here. Now, surely, Kevin, the fact that the Taoiseach, he's going to London and Washington, Surely it's pretty important to be meeting Boris Johnson and, above all, Joe Biden at the minute, isn't it?
Joe, I can understand where you'd have one or two ministers, or the Taoiseach of one or two ministers going because of necessity. But I think that this whole sale, I think there's something like 30 ministers going.
Yeah,
and
The Taoiseach is going to London and Washington. The Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, is going to Colombia and Chile. Minister Catherine Martin is going, New York. Pascal Donohue, the Netherlands. Michael McGrath, San Francisco and Vancouver in Canada. Minister Catherine Martin going to Argentina. Minister O'Brien is going to the United Arab Emirates. Isn't that where the expo was on at the minute? The minister on call is Simon Coveney, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, which sounds odd given the crisis we're going through. But anyway, he's the minister that's minding the house. Minister Foley, Norma Foley, is going to Boston. Heather Humphreys, no travel. Minister O'Gorman, New York, Philadelphia. Simon Harris, France. Helen McEntee, Savannah in the USA. Stephen Donnelly, Austin, USA. Minister McConnell, Agriculture, Canada. Jack Chambers, well, he works very hard anyway. He does work hard, but he's gone to the LA. This Minister of State, Hackett, is going to Greece. Hildegard Nocton's going to Australia and New Zealand. Then there's Italy, Chicago, Spain, Portugal, Slovenia, Lebanon, Romania, Mexico, Finland, Japan, India, Sweden, Belgium, Poland, Croatia, north of England, Scotland and the UK, and then Czech Republic, and the Attorney General is also going to Washington. There's a lot of them going, all right, okay. But Kevin, have you heard of anyone cancelling a party or a celebration because they're upset? When I hear this coming out of my mouth, this way is the wrong way, because they're upset about what's happening in Ukraine. So we take
no, Joe, I'm not saying that everyone has to cancel everything, but I think that this widespread running away from situation that's here, with the problems in Ukraine and with the problems in Ireland now, I think what needs is a rethink, and go forward from there.
Sorry, the phrase you used earlier was distasteful. So can I put this phrase into your mouth and see does it work? You're saying it is distasteful. And distasteful for the Irish government to be going all around the world this coming weekend to promote our little country while there is a war on our continent.
Yes, Joe, I think that. And I also think with the problems that we have at home, which have been highlighted, some of them earlier on your programme, that because of these two situations, mainly because of the war, and none of us know what's going to happen next minute or next hour or next day, I think it's reckless to actually have that number of ministers departing the country.
The only thing we do know is what Emmanuel Macron, the President of France, said last week, and he said from his conversations with Putin, the worst has yet to come. Which is just shocking when you think of what's happened.
It's terrible. And
what's happened already.
We saw that family being absolutely
massacred,
murdered by those shells yesterday.
And that's
in
only
Ukraine.
I can imagine that's
and
only
they're
that.
The ones we just saw. How many of them aren't we seeing at the moment?
Okay, Kevin, thanks indeed. John Nolan, Lorraine Nolan, no relation, Ed Sheehan, thank you all. 0818 715 815. We'll have some of those voice messages we got from Ukraine after this break.
Liveline on RT Radio 1 with a Kia EV6, Irish Car of the Year, and now European Car of the Year 2022. Discover the EV6 at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
One movie you're going to see on St. Patrick's Day or the long weekend after next is The Flight of the Doves, written by Walter Macken. Now, Walter's son, Alton, has contacted us with an issue that's arisen because of the invasion of Ukraine by Vladimir Putin. Go ahead, Alton.
How are you, Joe?
Good, yeah.
Well, the position is quite simple, that in the past couple of years, Russian publishers have taken an interest in my father's work. So they published God Made Sunday in short stories about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and then they published Rain and the Wind. And then a Russian publisher approached me and asked permission to publish Flight of the Doves.
Okay.
So they went ahead with that, and then I contacted the publisher about a month ago to find out how the sales had gone. So she said that the Flight of the Doves had sold nearly 500 copies in the year since it was published. And I asked her, would it be possible, would she be interested in publishing the first children's book, which is Island of the Great Yellow Ox? Mm-hmm. And she said she would, and would I send it to her? So I wrapped it up today and wrote her a letter and went to the Uachtaráin post office to send it to her. And she's working from her apartment in Moscow at home. So she asked me to send it to her home address. And I wrote it into the Uachtaráin post office and handed it over. And the lady behind the counter said, no, the post office is not accepting any post for Russia or Belarus.
And surely that's good news.
I don't know.
Isn't the campaign on, given that we can't get involved militarily, which looks like is the only thing that will stop Putin at this stage, but the sanctions is a part of, we were on to him post, they've suspended all mail services to the Ukraine because the system has collapsed, but there's a little caveat about Ukraine which I'll give you now, but the Russian Federation and Moldova, I presume Belarus is in there as well.
But I was just surprised, you know, because I haven't seen anything about this, that the sanctions included.
No, you're right, you're spotted. Yeah, you cannot post anything to the Russian Federation.
And I want to say as well that I'm appalled by what's going on in Ukraine. And if I was 20 years younger, I'd be over there fighting against the Russians. You know, when you see what you see, it's just appalling, what they're doing.
So then would you not say, no, I'm refusing to allow, you know, Sally Rooney refused to allow her books be translated into Hebrew, wasn't it, because of the situation in Israel? Would you not say, I'm refusing? I know it's all small wings of a butterfly in a jungle or whatever, or an Amazonian forest. But would you not say, no, I'm not, I don't want my father's books published in Russian as a protest?
I don't know about that because, the way I look at it is my father's books are good for people, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, while he was alive, something like 10 of his novels were published in Russia, you know? And the one that's been published recently, God Made Sunday, sold 500,000 copies.
Wow.
And my father was so proud of that. Because at the time in the Soviet Union, God and Sunday were banned, you know, and his book sold 500,000 copies.
Yeah.
So, my father's books, I think, promote peace, and you know, there's never the violence in them is never important, and you know, it's just I didn't realise that the post office had banned it,
But is the fact that you would, even if your dad's books, which I'm sure they would, and because they have, sell in the Russian translation, you couldn't get the money, could you?
Oh, yeah. No. These deals that I've had in the past couple of years, I have signed a contract with them, so I'm getting royalties.
Yeah, but I thought money can't be transferred out of Russia at the moment.
Well, at the moment, of course, it wouldn't, no. But, I mean, this was before the war started, you know?
Okay.
No,
Would your father have made? Would your, if your father, insofar as Alton, I know.
Yeah, you understand, of course. Yeah.
What do you think Walter would have made of this?
I think probably he would have agreed with you what you've said, like that. You know, they shouldn't be allowed to publish them, but they have published three of them. You know, and it's ironic that Flight of the Doves is now available in Russian and is out of print in English.
Is he?
Which I think is really funny. I have a granddaughter who studied Russian and worked in Russia for a while.
Okay.
And she's a fluent Russian speaker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to read the books I have that I got from Russia, you know.
Okay, and many books did your dad write?
He wrote 10 novels, 7 plays, 5 books of short stories and 2 children's books.
And the children's books are Flight of the Doves and
Island of the Great Yellow Ox.
Oh, that's
Island of the Great Yellow Ox is actually the first one.
Okay.
And it's great because there's a New York film producer has taken an option to make a new film of Island of the Great Yellow Ox.
And then
RT, And BBC did an original series way back in 1971 of Ireland's Great Yellow Ox. And, of course, Rafe Nelson made the film Flight of the Dove, which, as you say, has been shown. It's usually shown on St. Patrick's Day, all right?
It is, yeah. And he was a great short story writer as well, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, yeah. You know, some of his short stories, a lot of his short stories were published in the New Yorker magazine like Saturday Evening Post. I mean, there's one particular one called The Lion, which was published by the Saturday Evening Post. And in those days, no, this is way back in the late 50s, he was paid $1,200.
Incredible.
Which was huge money, like. It's called The Lion. And it's included in one of the books, the short stories, The Green Hills and Other Stories.
Okay. You know, but you still think that if Walter Macken was alive today, he wouldn't allow his, as of today, he wouldn't allow his books be translated, any more books be translated into Russian because of what the Russian leader, not the Russian people, not the Russian readers, the Russian leader is doing.
Oh, I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Have any other authors taken that stand, I wonder?
I don't know. No, I mean, I haven't. It's not me that's taken the stand.
I know. You rang about the post office.
Yeah. I was just like, because I hadn't seen, like, and I get the Irish Times every day and I watch the news all the time and everything, and I hadn't seen anything about the man.
You've revealed it now, because we got on when you said it, and it is true. They say that, on Puss say, our colleagues in the Ukraine Post will continue to send mail from Ukraine to Ireland, which is incredible given the pressure they're under.
Yeah.
However,
yeah,
there will still be considerable delays to any mail from Ukraine to Ireland.
Yeah. I'm very confident that the Ukraine are going to win.
Okay. Well, at what price? At what price?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that Putin misjudged the thing, that he could walk into Ukraine and just dominate the place, you know? And I think, like, he doesn't reckon on their loyalty to their country. I mean, they've shown enormous loyalty. And the way all the men are going back, like, to fight and everything, you know?
See, I'm just thinking, even given that the postal system has, I presume, in Ukraine is almost collapsed. Now, I know that, but it's very difficult. Which is a pity, because I know people who want to send money out to relatives in Ukraine.
Of course, yeah.
And how will they manage?
Well, I suppose they could. I mean, sure, the bank system would not work as well.
Yeah, we had that on Friday.
Bank transfer system.
There was an issue, but we think that's sorted with the Bank of Ireland. They've set up a dedicated line.
Yeah.
Okay.
But isn't it ironic that Walter Macken's books are available in Russia? In Russian, and the Flight of the Dove is not available in English.
Okay, well, listen, I mentioned about sending money to Ukraine. Therese Farthing. Therese, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you? You found a very, very smart way of trying to help people in Ukraine. Go ahead, Therese.
Yes, Joe, last week I was working away from home, and our local JA club here in Points Pass, Redmond O'Hanlon's, they had an event where they're, you know, gathering food and clothes and that to send to Ukraine. And then in, like, the Whistledown Hotel in Warren Point, again, they did a fabulous thing, taking goods out. But because I was away, I didn't get to donate to any of those things that I would have liked to. Okay. And I got to the weekend and I thought, I've gave nothing. And I was flicking through Facebook and I saw that Rory King from Rory's Travel Club, he had suggested that people book Airbnb.
Okay.
And I'm an Airbnb super host, and I thought, you know, that's a really good thing to do. So I went on and I looked at them on Airbnb. You can search for places via the map, you know, by a map. And I went to the city of Kershon.
Okay. Yeah.
And I saw Christina's profile and I said to myself, this looks, you know, she was a super host. She rented like a loft apartment. So I booked a night and paid for a night to stay with her. And I just sent her a message saying, you know, this is a donation from my house to your house.
Well done.
Because obviously you can't have bookings.
Yeah.
And then she messaged me back. And that, it just, the messages broke my heart. And I just felt then I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't like go, oh, well, there's your donation. Good luck. You know, I felt that I had to message her back the next day to see, was she okay? And I just think what the people in Ukraine are going through is absolutely, it's just shocking in the 21st century that this is what's happening.
And the messages, I don't know whether you've, I know you sent us in copies of the message.
I have them in front of me.
Well, if you read out some of them, the replies especially, my God.
The replies are so articulate. Yeah. And so the first message I got back from Christina was, thank you very much. I know that the whole world is with us. We are now in an occupied city from the Russian invaders. We want to stop being afraid, constant explosions and the killing of civilians. We only want peace and to live. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And she said, yes, now I can't work. And now in my apartment, there are people living their houses that were destroyed. You helped me and I helped them. Thank you from all of my heart. So I went back to her and I said, look, make sure your calendar is open and available for all dates, as you know, like other people.
Yeah,
can
good
book.
Idea. Yeah.
I said, our hearts are breaking for you all. And I said, put my number in her phone and WhatsApp me if you need help or if I can do anything else for you. And I said, we have a great community here and loads of collections of food, clothes are heading out from Ireland.
Well done.
So then she messaged me back again and she said, thank you very much for your support. We are very tired these days. We sleep with children either in the basement of the house or in the corridor because it is safe. Every night we wake up from explosions and pray just to survive. We lived happily in our small and beautiful city. We have beautiful nature, river and the Black Sea.
Yeah.
We wish to smile again and stop being afraid. We only want that NATO closed sky. We want green corridor because we are in occupied territory and they do not let us out. Please tell everyone about it and that we want to live. We are tired of being afraid. And it was that line, you know, she wanted, she said, you know, she wanted her voice heard and said, you know, I know we all know what's going on, but this is just very personal to me. And I sent the messages on into yourselves. I posted them on Facebook.
Now, Christina is on the other line. I know it's a difficult line and also there'll be difficulties in language. But, Therese, do you want to say hello to Christina, please?
Hello, Christina.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes. Oh, maybe good because I am in my home now.
Yes. You're in your home. Oh, that's good. We spoke earlier and this morning and things weren't so good and with you earlier.
Don't hear one more time. Bad connection.
The bad connection.
Well, I'm just reading, Christine. I know it's a difficult line, but your messages. We only want that NATO close the sky, which has to happen sooner rather than later. Has to happen. There's no, we can't just. I don't think the armed forces of Europe. I know we're not involved. Can stand by and watch people being. It'll turn into a genocidal war at this stage. I don't think people will. But you've been trying to reassure Christina by saying you're getting good coverage here and people are talking about it. There was incredible protests on Saturday and Sunday.
That things are going out, like I know from the Whistledown Hotel at one point, all the things that were collected there have already reached the Ukrainian. I think it got there on the 5th of March, the things, and I was trying to reassure her that things are, you know that as a country in Ireland, we are supporting them.
Okay, if anyone is near the Russian embassy now or lives near the Russian embassy, I wonder, could you go up to the gates? Because apparently a large truck has crashed through the gates of the Russian embassy in South Dublin and one man has been arrested. Hopefully nobody is injured, but that's what we're hearing now. So maybe if anyone is around there, they can tell us what's happening on 0818 715 815. A large truck has crashed through the gates of the red paint spattered Russian embassy in South Dublin and one man has been detained by Gardaí. Okay, we'll try and get more information on that. Therese, it's a great idea. Sorry, go ahead, Therese.
I heard the other caller talking about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And, you know, my idea, you know, like St. Patrick's Day is Green Day. We should turn St. Patrick's Day into Ukrainian Days and Ukraine Day. And okay. We should wear blue and yellow.
And the flags.
But if Christina, if Christina could get out of that, you know what I mean, we would happily put her up, put her family up. It's just, you know, that could be us. You know, my children are going to school, going about their business, and as were the people of Ukraine. And then all of a sudden their lives are being turned upside down.
And I don't know whether Christina can understand this. Christina, would your family leave where you're living at the moment? Do you think you might leave or depart your country?
Now I'm with my family in my town, in Kherson. But we can't to leave because our city in occupation of Russians. And we can't to leave because... some people want to leave and they shot his car. That's why we are scared. We sit only in our houses and we can't leave our town.
Yeah, you're like a prisoner. But it's a tactic as well, what Putin will do, given his duplicity all along and his supporters. What Putin will do is he will say, I'm opening a corridor for people to leave. Then one corridor or two corridors, one was going to lead to Belarus, the other was going to lead to Russia, which is the gulag, to say the least. And but then Putin will say in a few days, saying, well, I asked people to leave, so I presume the only people left in those cities are competent, so I will be even more savage than I am at the minute. But Christina, thank you and kind regards, and the Ukrainian people have a lot of support here in Ireland, Christina. And Therese, thanks for that idea. It's a brilliant idea. Simple idea, brilliant idea.
And thank you, Joe.
Okay. Thanks, Therese. It's Caroline O'Toole there. Caroline, donations to Ukraine. Go ahead, Caroline.
I just did the same thing, just booked a stay in Airbnb and also bought some items on Etsy as well.
Okay. And how did you pick the B&B, the Airbnb?
We just searched by Ukraine and then some of the addresses sounded familiar over the past week, and then tried to find one that was maybe in somebody's house rather than a
great
commercial place.
Well done. And you mind me asking? So I won't ask how much. But you, that means you can send the money directly to those people.
Yeah. And if you book for a stay in the next 2 or 3 days, as soon as the stay is over, the person will get the money the following morning.
Okay. Great, Caroline. Well done. Caroline, what do you think of this argument is now, given how horrific things are in Ukraine, and as Putin said, the worst is yet to come. Should we be sending ministers to 27 different cities all over the world next week to celebrate Irishness?
I don't know. I think tourism in Ireland definitely needs whatever support it can get. It's probably going to be going through the worst that it's ever been through in the next couple of years.
Yep. Okay, Caroline, thanks indeed. And thanks for that incredible gesture as well with the Airbnb. Simple idea. And you can decide by looking at the various properties how much you want to spend. That's Caroline O'Toole. joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
My name is Natalia. I'm from Ukraine. I live in Kherson. Now we are in the Russian occupation. There are tanks and barracks everywhere. Russians bomb. Many buildings and areas of Kherson have suffered severe destruction. The movement of our population is restricted. Overland transport remains difficult since many roads are mined. Russians are hindering the delivery of humanitarian aid to Kherson. People all over the world must know about Russian aggression. We believe in our victory.
I always wait for spring. It is my favorite season. But this year, the spring in Ukraine is awful. 9 days of war have passed, but it seems to me 9 years. There is a lot of grief, thousands of killed people, ravages of war. My name is Lyudmila Munarenko, and I am from Kherson. It is terrible to remain here. I am afraid of strength, and I must go to the cold, dark home shelters. It is difficult for me. I am an old woman. It is painful to see the war ravage towns and cities. For 5 days, Kherson is captured by Russian army. I weep when I see wounded and killed little children. We can't buy necessary medicines, food, because chemists and shops are closed. I used to live in a peaceful time. Ukraine people are ordinary, peace-loving people. We always lived with Russian people friendly. I hope that soon I hear the war is war. I'd like to add, now there is a meeting in Kherson. There are a lot of people in meetings with Ukrainian flags and slogan, Kherson is Ukrainian. Russian occupants suggested human food for people, but we refused from such help.
And there you have it, those. We've more. That's the noise of that truck reversing through the gates of the Russian embassy less than an hour ago, and they've taken down the truck. It's a substantial truck. It's taken down the gates, and it looks like it's taken down one of the pillars with the gate as well. That's the pillar that Father Fergal covered in red paint there at the weekend. And I tweeted that, by the way, not Joe Liveline, if you want to have a look. But and I presume one of the reasons why the weather reversed was that when a truck reverses, as you know, there's a warning siren or sound that comes out of it, and at least that, well, there's no one in the vicinity, thank God. He went straight through the reversed straight through the gates, took the gates down. You've seen them on the news, and the pillar shook. So I presume the pillar is in trouble as well. But and I'm trying to, I don't know the provenance of the truck, as they say, but I think if I can read it properly there during the break, I think it says ecclesiastical supplies on the side of it. Well, there's the hand of God. It's taken down the gates after the Padre on Friday, Father Fergal, thrown paint at the gates and threatening to burn down the thing once you got the people out. It's... things people are getting angrier and angrier. Alexander Fedorov, where are you now, Alexander? Tell us what happened. I know some of your family got back to Ireland. Tell us where you are now and what you were trying to do.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. So at the moment, I'm on the Polish border to the Szczecin, and the city is called Mostecka. It's about 15 minutes drive to the border. Yes, my family is now in Ireland, so I helped them to get out. So on the day when it happened, about 4 o'clock in the morning, they start bombing our city, and my sister called me. I woke up, and then I took my girlfriend.
Okay, that line gone, is it? That line is gone. Let's try and... You're coming back?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, keep going, Alexander, yeah?
Yeah. Here bombing, and straight. I went to the car, took my sister. She was close, and straight. I was driving to the border of Poland. So yeah, I spent 15 hours driving in all sleep. Yeah, good. My sister and her daughter and
yeah, keep
my girlfriend. They didn't let me go because they're saying a Ukrainian citizenship they found on the computer, and they sent me back. So now I'm stuck here, and unfortunately I'm doing some treatment in Ireland, getting some medication that I only get in Ireland, and I'm out of meds at the moment. I'm stuck here. I was trying to contact the embassy, but unfortunately with all the laws, Ukraine doesn't allow dual citizenship. And they take me to the army. I even couldn't fight because it's my condition and health. I just not able to do this. So yeah, I don't know what to do. You know, all my family is there. Like I live in Ireland, like from 12. I work there. I go to college. I'm doing some work there. So yeah, this is my home country. Yeah, unfortunately, this happened to Ukraine. So yeah, this is what the situation is like for myself. It's a little bit quiet here because it's close to border, but still on the radio we hear sirens about the potential of bombing. And yeah, as I was saying again, I'm not able to get any medical help. I was trying to get some medicine in the shops. Everything is quite empty. So I don't know what to do. Like, you know, I really don't feel great at all, because if I start medications, I didn't take medication for about 7 days, which I should take every day, so I'm not sure how long I'm going to keep up, you know.
Okay, and you are an Irish citizen, so...
Yes, I'm Irish citizen, yeah.
You're being told you are in Ukraine, are you, do you hold dual citizenship, Alexander?
So yes, I still had the Ukrainian passport, so I never refused about it, you know. So why should I? And it seems like Ukraine doesn't allow dual citizenship. So now they're treating me as a Ukrainian, even though I'm Irish citizen. And honestly, most of my life I lived in Ireland, and rarely I came here. Just with all the tensions coming here in Russia, I decided to be there close to my family in case something happened, and I was right, because if I didn't react in about a few hours, the Russians occupied our city completely, and even some people, they're trying to escape on the car. There was a family with a family with the children, so they shoot the whole car and they kill the whole family.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay, but you think you will not be allowed leave because you are... that they see you as an Ukrainian citizen and a man within the age group 18 to 60. So you'll have to, you'll be made stay. Okay, the line is gone. By the way, I'm looking at a photograph of that truck that reversed in. Now, this is, the truck might have nothing, the driver might have nothing to do with this company, but the truck is Desmond Wisely. Wisley, W-I-S-L-E-Y, Ecclesiastical Supplies. It's a Mercedes truck, and he has written, or she has written on the front, as trucks often do, simply the best, and Desi is written on the side and Aideen is written on the front. So we'd love to talk to someone from Desmond Wisley. As I say, they might have nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that the truck has reversed through the gates. A truck with their name on it has reversed through the gates of the Russian embassy in the last hour or so. Okay, Joe at RTE.ie.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the all-new Kia Sportage, built for endless inspiration. The all-new Sportage, now at your local Kia dealer.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Yeah, that is an Ecclesiastical Supplies truck that is... crashed into the grounds of the Russian embassy, which, as you know, as we were explaining on Friday, I was explaining to some Father Fergal was there trying to paint at the gate. It is Russian territory, so I hope he gets his truck back at least. Lucy, much more serious point. Lucy, your son. Where's Lucy gone?
Hello.
You come back to me, Lucy. It's not your fault, I know the lines. Your son, what happened?
Well, my son is flying out on Wednesday. He's enlisted and he's been accepted into the Ukrainian Foreign Legion. As hard as it is, him going, I know the reason why he's gone. He wants to help. He's trained. He's military. I'm proud of him. But the reason I'm not ringing you, Joe, is because, like so many others, they have to fly into Poland. And Ryanair are the only ones that fly into Poland. And then there's, I can't say on air what happens, but there's different transfers they have to go to different places. Okay. But he'll be fighting. He'll be on the front line in Kiev sometime Thursday, latest Friday. But the problem is that they have specific items that they have to bring with them. For example, they have to bring body armour, they have to bring helmets. If they don't have them,
okay,
they won't be getting them over there because they can't get them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he's paid for like his flight, he's paid for his 20 kilos bags, whatever. And I spent days, today I spent 2.5 hours on the phone on hold for Ryanair, trying to speak to somebody to see that when he gets to the airport, we know the bag's going to be over the 20 kilos, but there's nothing he can do because you have to bring these items with you.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything that Ryanair will do in relation to like waiving some of the charges? Because he paid for the flight, all of the gear, they have to carry this with them. Like the vests themselves are extremely heavy, and then they have the plates in them for like to make them bulletproof. They're even heavier. But they have to carry everything with them on their back when they get there. So they're only allowed to bring the one rucksack. And nobody in Ryanair wants to know about it. I have tried everybody. I've tried Ryanair in Ireland, the UK. I've tried their handling company.
Well, push comes to shove, will they not just charge you for the excess baggage?
No. They will turn around and tell them to take stuff out of the bag or that it's too big. And the problem is that stuff
Could he book two bags?
No, because he's only allowed to carry one over there. They're only allowed to carry one. They have to carry this on their back.
Okay.
This bag is going to be heavy going around. So, like, they have their gear.
Yeah, but your son, Lucy, has he any connection with the Ukraine?
No, absolutely none. He's never been to the Ukraine in his life.
And is he prepared? You've had this conversation, I presume.
He's prepared to die. We've had to do as well and everything. Yeah. He's prepared to die. It's I might not sound too distressed now, but on Wednesday I'm going to be in absolute bits because I know I could be saying goodbye to my son forever. But there's so many people being killed over there. There's children, innocent people that, you know, this war is barbaric. We're all watching it and we're all sickened. Mm-hmm. He can't sit there knowing that he's trained and he's able to help these people and sit there and just watch it on TV.
And where was it? What's his background training-wise?
He's military trained and he's trained in special forces as well in Eastern Europe. So he does have a lot that he can actually give them tactical-wise. So he is trained in that. So from that sense, I'm not worried.
And has he seen operational duties before?
Yes, he has, but not like this.
Do you want to tell us whereabouts he's?
I don't know whether I can say it or not, but he has seen operation, but not like this. Okay. Not like this. This is a different level.
Is he going on his own?
Yes. Yes. When you enlist with the Foreign Legion, you have to go through a procedure with the embassy. You've a lot of documents, your credentials, everything have to be done, and you have to make your own arrangements to Poland. When you get there, everything has been prearranged. So the transfers, the pickups, and everything, that's all done in advance, but they have a list of items they have to bring. And he can't, like, I mean, there's hardly anything that's not the gear in the bag. There's absolutely nothing. And I'm just wondering, like, Ryanair are saying they're offering 100,000 seats for refugees coming to Ireland from Ukraine, which is great when they get out. That's brilliant. But what about the men and the women that are going there to help to fight them? Can they do something for them as well?
Can his gear get out any other way? There's loads of trucks going.
Well, they have to bring it with them.
He
has to have it with them.
Your son, he made a will.
Yeah, he has to. You have to make a living will. Mm-hmm. If something happens to him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He has to have a living will. If something happens to him, medically wise, he has to have somebody that has power of attorney that can act on his behalf. So we've had to do that. But like, I'm dreading the airport saying goodbye to my son because I genuinely don't know. It's not the bullets I'm afraid of, it's the bombs that they're dropping because you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance.
He speak the language?
No, doesn't speak a word of it. They send you over and they give you a booklet of Ukrainian certain terms to learn. And he has them and he's been learning them.
We know one word that will not be in that book. And that is surrender, because the Ukrainian people, all that we've heard on this program, are not going to surrender.
No, and they shouldn't surrender, because if Putin gets what he wants, he's a tyrant, he's going to take, it's not just going to stop at Ukraine. This is the start of him, he's an egotistical maniac, we all know that. but he needs to be stopped. And this, like, I'm sickened by watching the children. Like, he blew up a nursing home last week that was full of elderly patients with dementia. Now, what in God's name are they going to do to him? What harm are they to him? They're innocent elderly people with dementia. And he blew them all up. Like, these children, we're watching them, families, they're out trying to escape and they're blown up, gone to smithereens, burnt to a crisp. Life means nothing to that man. He's an egotistical psychopath. But, yeah, my son's going over there. And it's killing me.
Has he siblings?
He has two, yes.
And did they try and persuade him not to go?
No, and I won't try and persuade him either.
Oh, will you not?
Because, no. Okay. No, I won't, because I know people might think I'm crazy, but this is what he does, and this is who he is. I couldn't keep it on my conscience telling him not to go, knowing that it's something, as he said, Matt, he said, it's like a calling. He said, I have to go. He said, I can't sit here and watch this on the news and watch these people die.
And where is he now?
He's in Ireland at the moment, but he'll be flying from the UK in the next couple of days. He'll be flying from the UK tomorrow, and then he's flying from the UK.
And by the way,
Wednesday.
Is he good at what he does?
He's brilliant. He's good. His nickname from other people, military, was always Rambo. So he's good at what he does.
His nickname was what?
Was Rambo. Oh. In the middle, but that means nothing when you're going against Putin. It doesn't matter how good you are. You drop a bomb, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be special forces. It makes no difference. He's dropping bombs. But the least I want is my son to make sure that he has his gear that he needs to keep himself. Like his helmet, like his bulletproof helmet. Like we've all seen even the media being attacked the other day in cars with the bullets flying past them. If they hadn't got their vest and their helmet on, they were gone. But he's going into the middle of it. He's going to Kiev. Well, lots of other people that are going there as well. So it's not just for him I'm asking them to do it for. I'm to do it for those. Like, he can prove he's gone. So if people are going over, and they're not going to be going to that area in Poland now unless they're doing something to help with the war. Nobody's going there on holidays. I'm asking them if they can please just do something with the bags, just to make it so that at the airport there's not stress, because if he takes stuff out, how is he going to get it on the flight? And if he doesn't bring it with him, then his life is in more danger when he's over there, because he doesn't have any of the protective gear with him.
Okay.
So I'm just asking, it took a lot for me to ring, but
We'll ask.
Thank you so much.
We'll ask Ryan there, but I suspect they'd say we'll treat everything on an individual basis.
But the thing is, if they're helping refugees come to Ireland and the UK, well, then why can't they help the men and women that are going over there to help these refugees get out? Like, they're going over there. The refugees are coming to Ireland, UK. Their lives have been saved getting out of the country. Yes, they've lost everything, but they're alive. My son could be dead. And asking them to other mothers.
Could he put in two bags into the hold, and then when he gets to Poland or whatever, he puts them into one bag? Do you follow me?
They won't fit into one bag.
Okay.
See, that's the problem. Everything that's in
there.
Well,
I'm sure.
So they have it, like, it's literally when you're in the military, they know.
Now, by the way, the material that he's bringing is allowed to be carried.
They're not allowed weapons, and the tack vest that they bring, they don't have the plates in it. Although it's really heavy, there's no plates in it, and the plates with the bullets. So they go in when they get over there. But if you don't have the vest, you won't get one.
And
when
what's
you're
his
over
agreement
there
with his mother, with you, about how and when he'll contact you? Is a certain time?
When he can. Okay. I will have to wait for call. I can't call him. I can't contact him. I will be waiting every day, every day, for the phone to ring, because I can't ring or text him. I never know what he's going to be doing. So it will just be whenever he can contact me. And they're enlisted for a minimum of 13 months.
Okay.
It's going to be really hard. So just for everyone going over, if people can just keep them in their hearts and prayers, because although people are talking about how bad it is in Ukraine for the people there, there's a lot of people going to help them, and they need support as well.
Okay. Lucy, thanks indeed. That's
thank you
Lucy.
Very much.
Thanks. Joe@rte.ie.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Somebody pointed out, if all those ministers go away next week, which is the plan, I think 27 of them going from Argentina to Colombia to Shanghai to the USA, Canada, Vancouver. There'll be more people in the Russian embassy in Orwell Road than there will be government ministers in Ireland by a long stretch. John Devitt is in Stepaside. John, your situation, please.
How you doing, Joe?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, my parents-in-law, Alla and Andrei, they're in Mariupol at the moment. We haven't spoken to them for the last 48 hours. We believe that the road that they live on was bombed and they had to flee to some other people that they know, and they're staying with them at the moment. But we haven't heard from them in the last 48 hours. It's impossible to get a phone call in there at the moment. And we have had three arrangements or three attempts now to try and leave the city too, but it's all been to no avail, you know. And it just looks like a political theatre taking place at the moment, and from what I'm led to believe, people don't have food and water in that city at the moment.
And we've, as you know, we've had Olga, who's been on to us now, long before when we did Ukraine in January. For a week, we were doing calls about it, and people were worried. Now, a lot of people told them there was no need to be worried, and it was warmongering and all that carry on, including. But it came through, unfortunately. We began a conversation with a woman in Mariupol, and we haven't been able to contact her either in the last few days. Now, you know the whole thing about the so-called humanitarian corridor, but that seemed to be a ruse, wasn't it, by Putin or whatever?
Well, I think that even to leave the city at the moment and the journey that would be ahead of you if your plan was to make your way to somewhere like Poland or to Romania, you're talking thousands of kilometres, even if you were to attempt that in terms of the litres of fuel that you might have in a car as to whether you'd even make it halfway across. And then also geographically as well, in the mix, you have the Dnieper River there, and there's the whole issue as to whether or not you can even get across that. But, I mean, the situation is escalating, it's changing, and as to how somebody from a civilian point of view could be making their way across through a war zone, it's like a roll of the dice as to whether they'd make it.
And things are changing by the minute as well. I think it's last Wednesday we last heard Olga on the air here. Now she said that she was a prisoner, effectively the 300,000 people living there are effectively prisoners. Okay, John, hopefully.
So what I would propose at the moment is, I think that as to whether maybe, you know, it's something that could be examined. Mariupol is a port. It's on the Sea of Azov. You make your way down through there and you're into the Black Sea and then you're out into the Mediterranean. There is a port there. As to whether it's a possibility that people would come out by sea, but I think that would be an international humanitarian effort to do that.
Okay, John, thanks indeed. Terrible times for so many people. Terrible times for the world, actually. This is another voice message we got from Ukraine.
My name is Vadim. I'm a teacher. The situation in Kherson is appalling. The city is invaded by Russian troops. Yesterday, the local authorities agreed with the invaders to organize the humanitarian corridor and let the food and medicines in. But still, the agreement doesn't work. There are dozens of killed and wounded people among civilians. The hospitals are full of suffering victims. The food shops are empty. The community tries to support people. There are some bakeries which supply inhabitants with free bread. If the situation remains as it is and the humanitarian corridor doesn't work, we are doomed to death. By the way, today the Russian propaganda has organized a fake feature for the Russian television. As far as the locals don't support the Russian troops at all, hundreds of people were brought to Kherson from Crimea. They pretended to be locals meeting Russian troops with flowers and thanks for the liberation. Still can't believe that's going on. It's so exhausting, so much pain, so much tears, so much grief.
says it all. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Shanna Gorman producing. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RT Radio 1 with a Kia EV6, Irish Car of the Year, and now European Car of the Year 2022. Discover the EV6 at kia.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.